Paul wrote to us, you know, it's always good when you're reading to put the association of what and how. I look at Paul's life and I look at all the suffering that he endured. Do you know one thing? If you notice, in all of his writing, you don't find any place where you read that he complained. He's not complaining about what he's going through. He doesn't complain about the time he spent in the jail. I don't guess he complains the times he was right at the point of death on several occasions. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I can complain when things aren't. But he's writing some words because of what he found that is, to me, powerful. I'm going to just read in Titus, the first chapter of Titus. There's three chapters in this little epistle. But I want to read verse 2 and verse 3. Paul writes this, in hope, everybody just say hope, of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. And I looked at, I'm going to read verse 3 in just a second, but I looked at that. What this is saying is the hope of eternal life that God had promised before the world. Before he created, he had the promise to us of eternal life. But hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. We're going to talk tonight. I want to talk along this subject. I do what I do because of my hope. I do what I do. Some people don't understand why we live like we live and how we live. If we have ever needed to both understand and to trust in his church, it is now. And the understanding comes from the word, the written, as well as the preach. The trust comes when we allow the word to come inside of us and to reach us. Has anybody else known or realized that our world seems to have lost its mind? I don't mean just little things. It's lost its mind. When you, a couple years ago, first time I've ever heard, and I hated it the first time I heard it, and I disagreed with it the first time I heard it, and I disagree with it more now than I did 2 years ago. They call it the new normal. The new normal, basically, it just means you're supposed to accept anything that we say, no matter how ridiculous it may seem. If we say it's this way, this is the way it's supposed to be. And I came today to realize, I knew this, but as I was studying, that in my spirit, I am taking a stand that I am going to live and I will declare, I don't care who it is, if you don't want to hear what I have to say, don't start up with me. Because I don't care. But anything that is against God will never be my new normal. I will not accept it. I will not embrace it. I will not overlook it. I will not say that's okay. I don't mind saying that's the goofiest thing I've ever seen to the person's face. I don't like to go to Walmart. Once in a while, I go to Walmart. When I walk in mad because I don't want to go to Walmart. But sometimes I just need to get some stuff. And I don't care. I don't know why I got off on that, but you know where I stand with Walmart anyway. But you know, I look at all this stuff going on around us. I've talked to Brother David Honeycutt. I've talked to Brother Brett. I've talked with some others. Even the other day, last Sunday, I was talking to Meredith about some things. School is not what it used to be. Kids are not what it used to be. I was raised in a time I did, thank the Lord, I never had to be a receiver of it, but I have walked by several times in hallways through grade school, junior high, and even high school. When I saw them take that paddle off the wall, we had a gym teacher that had a large wooden paddle that had big holes drilled through it. Now, I don't know what the holes, if it was to stop the air so you could swing faster, if it was supposed to hurt, or it just looked bad. But I have walked by and watched as I heard a teacher say, grab your ankles. And then you'd hear a crack. Oh, God, give us the good old days. There's some of them, a paddle ain't going to do it. They're going to have to mute. Well, I'm not going to anyway, you know. But let me tell you something. This is what I felt today. As parents, and now as grandparents, the protection, the covering that your children are going to have begins at home. You cannot leave up to raising a child with the school. You make sure that child understands. And these are things that just entered my mind strongly today. As parents and grandparents, and I'm going to say, all of us affect the children in our church. We should lead our children closer to God than they've ever been. I get a thrill when I watch the smallest of our children raising a hand for a song. Do they know? I don't know if they always know, but I know one thing, they're watching something. I would rather them mimic what's going on here than mimic what's going on in this world. But you lead them to where they draw close to God. And our kids, this does not bear back on all of us. This is mom and dad. Our kids need to see moms and dads praying and worshiping. It means something to them when they hear you in prayer and they see you worship and something's going on, and I'm telling you, there's a reality in that that can only come from you. Some of the closing remarks of the Lord, I can still remember hearing my dad when I was a young boy, I've heard him preach sometimes about the coming of the Lord. It was so close to me, I was afraid to leave the building. I've heard him preach and just think, why are we going home? Let's just go from here. You know, I'm glad we went home now because it didn't happen then. But I've heard him preach scriptures and talk about, and he's referenced some of the closing statements that Jesus gives us is found, I mean, I could go different places, but in Luke 17 and 25, he said, as it were in the days of Noah. I've been told that all of my life. What was in the days of Noah? It was filled with sin. Men just did whatever they wanted to do, and God said, I've had enough. Do you understand where our world is? The perversion? And that's not my point to get off on all of this, but he said it's going to be the same way in the days of the Son of Man. He goes on then, he said, and likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. I have never, in all of my years of hearing that, ever thought I'd see the days of Lot where we are, but we're there. I submit to you, I give to you, I state to you, in the midst of all the confusion that's going on in our world, all the junk that's going on, there is still one who knows exactly what's happening, and that one is ultimately in complete control. What you think is spinning out of order, no. At any given moment, he can just say enough, and everything just either stops or it changes or he takes it because he knows what's going on. He is not lost. The church is not lost. The things that are going on is not, well, we just can't. No, it pays like never before. You and I get closer to God. Spend more time in the Word of God. Listen when it's preached. Pray over the Word of God. Pray that it's going to be what we need. I found in my heart, now I love reading. You know, I've got something that goes on every winter in my office here. Ladybugs intrude. Every year, and today I sat there for a while, a ladybug will land on top of, I got a lamp on my desk. The top of it's about like this. I don't know how many hours today one ladybug just walked that whole lamp. It didn't get anywhere. Wasn't nothing to eat. I thought, surely it's going to leave sooner or later. Now, a lot of times it leaves because I just get a joy out of flipping them. But I just thought, if you want to keep walking, you keep walking. Wasn't getting anywhere. Sometimes that's the way we do in our walk with God. We're not getting anywhere because we're really not doing anything. I've got to get out of where I am and what I've done, and I've got to get on that pathway to say, I want to find God like I've never found God. I don't care when you first received your initial experience with God. It's time to go deeper. It's time to get further. It's time to get closer. It's time to say, God, I need you like I have never needed you before. I believe that I can be covered and my family can be covered in this world that we're living in right now. The silliness that's going on cannot interfere with or affect the church. This is still his church. I found in my reading, because I just been, all this stuff gets to consuming me, but I found a strength. And it was mentioned the other night in our first word, I found a peace that when I read this book, don't just read to get through a chapter. Read this book. Let it speak to you. But when I started reading this, and then I like to read, and then normally after I read, I like to spend some time in prayer, whether I'm praying for myself, and I name every member of my family, as I think most of us do over our family, or if I'm just praying for others. I have found an encouragement in reading this. Paul tells us, and I didn't want a lot of scriptures tonight at all, but in the 13th chapter of Corinthians, he closes the Corinthians out, that 13th chapter. He says, now abideth, we've read it, faith, hope, and charity or love. These three abide. And we've discussed it. You know, I think that we understand faith well. I believe that we can come down and we know that God's going to answer. You know, Madison, I know when you guys were sick, and I just want you to know I had faith you're going to get well. I didn't want to come in and pray over you guys. I was going to, long distance praying was a whole lot safer in my book, but I have faith that God's going to do something. And we've used it. Every one of us have used it at times. And we've witnessed. Sister Nikki said that she, and I loved it, she said it with a smirk, Brother Scott. I thought this was a real calm lady here, but with a smirk, she said, I told Scott and Cameron, I'm going to have another job before the first of the year. And the smirk was, they really didn't believe me. She started a new job Monday. Amen. Look at him and smirk. Look at him and say, I told you so. She has already. Okay. But, you know, faith, I believe, you know, we've seen it. Faith gives me the confidence that God will answer. Okay, we understand faith. And faith keeps me praying and it keeps me walking. And I've looked at all of this and I've read it and I've understood that. I understand without faith it's impossible to please God. I understand all of that. But Paul said there's three things that are involved. And we grasp that. And we seem to be drawn to the faith and the love, whether it's love for the church, love for God. But don't miss where he said also, faith, hope, and love. Go ahead, hold on to your faith with all you have. Don't let go of it. Don't let it slip out. And always keep a love towards God and to the church and the things of God. But here's where I'm at tonight. And I saw this from Paul's writing. If you're not reaching to hold to stand on the hope he's talking about. This hope he's dealing with is not, man, I hope something happens. I hope this takes. That has nothing to do with what he's saying. But if you're not holding on to this hope, you are missing a great source of God's power that God has given you. There's something that he's presented to you that is given to keep you, like in Paul's case, when he's beaten, when he's stoned, when he's in prison, when he's shipwrecked, and on and on and on, when everything is going bad. I read the other day, the other morning, I was reading about Paul before Agrippa and Felix and all of that mess that was going on, and how he was given an account before for what he knew. He had a hope. See, hope as given is, the definition would be, a strong belief or strong expectation that something will happen or something will be the case in the future. Hope is confidence, not in my past, but in the future. I don't know how tomorrow. And this is kind of, I didn't share this with the man who said, I'm tired of being hit. But we got to talking about, I can't give up on who and what God is. Okay, I can't. I want to tell every one of us, and I want every one of us to have a confidence in it. You can't afford to lose the hope that Paul's talking about. Now what is, and this is what the pastor, I'm telling you, he was broken. But this is what we came up, he was acknowledging. He said, I really believe that this is an intention of the adversary to draw me away from where I need to be in God. It takes me away. It pulls me away. It causes me to not see or be where I am. I am thankful this evening for the hope that God has given to me. To me. Now, I can't base that on anybody else. I can't tell that to anyone else. I can't show that to anyone else or live it for anyone else. But I can tell you that I stand here tonight, and I'm standing with Apostle Paul. I'm standing in the hope of God that he has promised and that he's presented to me. Paul writes this in these verses that I read. He said, in hope of eternal life. Not in hope of a revival. In hope of all sorts of blessings. My hope is established. He's given me a promise of eternal life. That's the hope. The hope, my faith says, heal when the need is there. My hope does not come in, I hope you get a healing. I hope you receive it. No, that's not what, well, you say, yeah, okay, but that's not what he's saying. The hope that keeps me going is my eternal life with him. It's my walking. I read this in a different translation. I'm going to read it, that what the verses I read a moment ago. He said, my message is based on the confidence of eternal life. God, who never lies. What brought you into this was a promise that God has something for you. God, who never lies, promised this eternal life before the world began. Before anything happened, there was a promise to Adam. There was a promise to mankind that there would be an eternal life. And he said, God has revealed this in every era by spreading his word. He said, I was entrusted with this word by the command of God, our Savior. I want you to look at what this hope he's talking about brings us. This is not just something in the church. I love our church. I love the feeling that I get when we come to church. I'm here when they're practicing. I love hearing them practice for the worship. I love the singing. I love the praying. I love all of this. But he's not saying that the church, I have hope just simply of the church. But he's saying I have hope of something beyond the church. I have an eternal hope. The thought crossed my mind, why am I in this? Why am I apostolic? Why am I going through repentance, baptism in his name, an infilling experience of the Holy Ghost? Why would I want to live this way? And then all of that, not why am I in church? Why am I here on a Wednesday night? That's not it. Why am I in the church? I am in the church because of what Paul's saying. Brother Moss, I've got a hope. I've got a hope. Whatever happens in this life is not the end of it. This life is just, it's keeping me from, and that's basically what Paul said. I'm in a strait. For me to leave, believe me, that's Christ. For me to go, things are better. You know, the only thing keeping me from that is this life, this flesh. And one of these days, I am going to be released from this and I am going to have him. Paul suffered some of the greatest things that you can imagine. He was left for dead multiple times. You didn't live through a stoning. That wasn't someone throwing a rock at him. That was vicious men who picked up big stones and they hurled them with all their strength, striking him in the head and in the body and bringing him down. And they left him supposing he had died. But some of his greatest writings came as a result of the great suffering. And it's in this that he declares, my hope is not delivering me from the stones or the whips or the prison. My hope is I have an eternal life to live. That just, I don't know. That just absolutely got a hold of me. It was this hope that kept him. When everything could have said, shut it down, I have hope in something beyond. If you want to take me out, if it's time to go, I'm ready to go. But I have hope. When I depart here, I'm going to stand there and I'm going to be forevermore. I am going to be with him. It was this hope that kept him, this hope that allowed him to endure. You want to know why some people struggle in walking with God? They've lost their hope in an eternal life. They've taken on the idea like our world takes on. It doesn't matter. Everybody's going to heaven. I get so sick and tired of hearing people that are supposed to be intelligent and they're acting like nothing matters in this world. It doesn't matter what you do. All we know is there's a heaven. Everybody's gone. I got news for you. I wish everybody was, but everybody's not. But I've got a hope in heaven, in eternity, that's going to cause me to live right in this world. My hope in eternity put me be on my knees and ask God to forgive me of my sins. My hope in eternity allowed me to be buried in His name. My hope in eternity said, God, I want you to fill me with your Spirit. And the reason I'm living I remember talking with Brother Joyce when he was broken. You know, he was a blessing to this church. He would tell me all the time, it's a price. He said it like nobody else could say it. Nobody wants to hear a broken man. I am worthless. I'm broken down. I tell him over and over, I said, Brother Joyce, every time you get out of that vehicle and they get you in a wheelchair and you come in, you're a statement, a witness against any of us that ever thinks, well, it's tough for me to come tonight. It'd be easier to stay home. You struck to get ready. I've watched him get ready before. That was not easy. It was a struggle, but he came on anyway. Why? Because I have a hope that allows me to endure sickness. It allows me to endure heartache. It allows me to endure the difficulties of life. I've got a hope of eternity that says it'll be worth it someday. Don't let go. My hope is shouting to me. Don't release it. Don't let go. Hold on like you've never held on before. Go on anyhow and live for God. When this is over, and we get to experience the hope that we've waited for. This is what led Abraham in his walk. I read the last couple of statements here and then I'm done. Come on, Bethany, if you would. The 11th chapter of Hebrews talks about Abraham, talks about the faith. One translation said, faith led Abraham to live as a foreigner in the country that God had promised him. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who received the same promise from God. And then we've read this statement many times. The 10th verse said, for he looked for a city which hath foundations. He lived in tents, but he was looking for something that was solid, whose builder and maker is God. That translates, Abraham was waiting for the city that God had designed and built. The city with permanent foundations. I'm going to tell you, I don't know what heaven is going to be. Well, it's streets of gold, gates of pearl, mansions. Draw me a picture. I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know what all we're going to do. I do know we will not just stand around a throne crying holy for the rest of eternity. There's something going to go on. Jeremy, if we're going to be known as we are known, we're going to know and understand. That means I have full plans. You didn't get to know Grandpa Paymer. Grandma, you're just young when Grandma died. I believe I'm going to be able to go one day. and I'm going to be able to go up. I'm going to spend time talking to my grandparents. I do. Because I have hope in eternal life. And that's where it's at. And it's something that is real. Paul went on in Titus, said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's my hope. My hope is not for a better service the next service. My hope is not for better things in this life. If my hope is for better things in this life, I've missed everything. That's not my purpose. When your hope's in Him, go ahead and throw those rocks. I'm still going to live for God. When your hope's in Him, beat me. Do whatever you want. I'm still going to live for God. That's why this patriarch could make the statements that we've read at so many memorial services. As he talks, I am now ready to be offered. What do you mean, ready? I mean, I want to go. I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And here's where hope comes in. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not only to me, but unto all them also that love His appearing. I've got a hope in Him. I do what I do because of the hope I have in God. I live what I live because of the hope that I have in God. I'm going to walk with Him. I'm going to hold to Him. I'm going to reach out to Him. Oh, God, why don't you lift a hand with me right now? Let's just thank Him, would you? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God, I love you. Sing, baby. Hallelujah.
I have hope.
Oh, yes.
When trouble comes my way.
Oh, Jesus.
I have hope. Oh, yes. Since Jesus has come to stay.
Oh, Lord.
I have hope.
Somebody tell me. stuff that's wanting to bring you down. Understand, the only ability that Satan has to work against you is to bring you to a discouragement, to take you away from what God has. But if you look at what God has given us, I've got hope in an eternal life. Devil, you can't bring me down. Don't you understand that when this is over, the best is yet to come? Something great is going to be here. I am going to, oh my, what a time. I believe that, what a time. So I'm going to tell them I have hope.
Oh, I have hope.
I've got a hope.
When trouble comes my